is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The U.S. will begin to airdrop humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza as soon as this weekend, after intense planning.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says officials will have to make sure no one on the ground gets hurt by the airdrops, that the location is safe to access in a war zone, and that the aid gets to the civilians for whom it's intended. But that's not all.
This isn't like an area of a humanitarian disaster such as an earthquake or a hurricane site. This is a war zone. So there's an added element of potential danger to the pilots and the aircraft.
In addition to the airdrops, Admiral Kirby says the U.S. is seeking a maritime humanitarian corridor. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
It could be one of the most powerful winter storms to ever hit Northern California, says CBS News Los Angeles meteorologist Paul Diano.
We have a powerful storm moving through Northern and Central California. That direct hit may mean several feet of snow, perhaps up to 10 feet of snow in the Central Sierra. There's a widespread blizzard warning. They'll see winds up to about 80 miles per hour in the mountains as well.
The storm could rage through the weekend. Volunteers with Texans on Mission have arrived in the Texas Panhandle to help victims of the Smokehouse Creek fire. CBS News Texas reporter Don White spoke to some of them.
Associate Director of Disaster Relief Rupert Robbins says the organization is providing mobile showers and stoves to cook on.
They cook corn, beans, and so forth.
And food to nourish the body and soul.
We bring water, we bring hygiene kits, we bring the niceties of life, if you will, the things. When you lose everything becomes precious.
When you got there Thursday, what were the conditions like and what was going through your mind when you saw it?
When you come across the burn and the different sections of the burn and you hear the numbers, it just boggles your mind. But to see miles and miles of charred landscape, it's just overwhelming.
Governor Greg Abbott says the wildfires may have destroyed as many as 500 structures. CVS and Walgreens, two of the nation's largest pharmacy chains, have announced they'll begin selling a widely used abortion pill this month in about half of the states. Details from CBS's Nikki Batiste.
Until now, the drug had only been available from authorized doctors, clinics, or telemedicine abortion services. Mifepristone is used in combination with another drug, misoprostol, to end a pregnancy through 10 weeks. CBS says the pill will cost $79, but it may be covered by insurance for some patients and will require a prescription.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments late this month from groups that want to restrict the pill and from those opposed to any limits. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vehicles have overtaken power plants as America's biggest source of carbon emissions. In Wisconsin, the push for electric buses is accelerating. Mike Moan reports.
The city of Racine has made headlines in recent years for leveraging federal funds to add more electric buses operated by its transit agency. And through the bipartisan infrastructure law, school systems like the Palmyra Eagle District have used federal grants to buy a handful of buses fitted with such technology. Susan Mudd is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center, a Midwest-based advocacy group. She says it's encouraging to see this activity, knowing the benefits that come with it.
The children or the riders on buses, including the drivers, will experience zero tailpipe emissions, which they now do because fumes, unfortunately, often get recirculated into buses.
These models also prevent harmful emissions from floating through neighborhoods, especially when buses are idled. Mudd says this has a positive effect on human health, as well as mitigating climate change, with transportation making up nearly 30% of U.S. carbon emissions. But even with federal support, she acknowledges there are still upfront cost barriers in securing electric buses. Mudd adds that implementing charging stations for larger electric bus fleets can be more intensive than infrastructure for passenger models.
It definitely requires more equipment, may require transformer upgrades, and that is more costly.
Organizations like hers are appealing to utilities to help make this infrastructure more accessible to schools and transit agencies. In late 2022, Wisconsin received more than $25 million in federal support to replace 65 diesel school buses around the state with electric ones. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Friday, best of the week, trending education news.
Boston Pencils every weekday at 7 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow with record highs in the low 60s and breezy. Another record high possible Sunday, upper 60s, windy and partly sunny. A chance of a shower Sunday night and into Monday, cooler Monday afternoon, high upper 40s. Right now it's 33.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it's Friday, we made it, the weekend's almost here. And we have more breaking news as we join the broadcast audience on the airwaves today. Break it for the people, Dom. Once it's broken here, it stays broken.
All right, Crudy, good to see you. Happy Friday. Thank you, Nate, and our fair audience. The breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that the Wisconsin Supreme Court today rejected a request to reconsider the state's congressional maps ahead of the next election, ensuring the current district boundaries will remain in place for 2024.
Damn it.
Ooh.
Now, yes. This was a quite late ask. Obviously, they didn't even file the original legislative gerrymandering lawsuits until after Janet Protasiewicz was impaneled on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, when the Elias Law Firm, the outside group, the outside of Wisconsin group, but very dim, affectionate, let's just say, when they filed
right, very, very voter supportive, let's call it.
Well, when they filed and the Wisconsin Supreme Court had already ruled the state legislative maps were unconstitutional and not contiguous based on Wisconsin's constitution, and therefore they effectively said the rationale that was forced upon them, the least change rationale forced by the then conservative blocked court. Well, if that's unconstitutional based on the contiguous constitutional requirement of Wisconsin's original document, well, then the congressional maps would also, by extension, be unconstitutional, Dom. That least change would make them unconstitutional, potentially. And today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, bugger off. We're not taking
at least
this one.
Perhaps for now. Conservative Bad Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, she said this. This motion comes as no surprise after the court's new majority telegraphed its willingness to rebalance political power in the state of Wisconsin by overturning Johnson v. WEC.
Can't even win gracefully, right? Can't even.
No, it gets better. Here's what Bad Bradley goes on to say. While the court rightfully denies this motion, it likely won't be long until the new majority flexes its political power again to advance a partisan agenda. despite the damage inflicted on the independence and integrity of the court, says Justice Rebecca Bradley.
Tell I got 99 problems, yeah. But she ain't one. Bradley.
This was interesting. Justice Protasiewicz did not participate in a vote on the motion. She said in the filing Friday she did not participate with the proceeding because she was not seated on the court when the underlying case was decided.
So it is possible to recuse from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not hear an individual case.
I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, right.
Good to know it's possible. That is bad news for the state of Wisconsin, unfortunately, because as we talked about, Dom, the congressional maps, a Republican majority already cooked in the books. Yep. As it's a guaranteed four for Republicans before anyone ever leaves their house and votes. It's 4-2 Republicans, and then there are two quote-unquote competitive districts, Brian Stiles first, and currently the House seat held by Derek Van Orden. Those are supposed to be the competitive races, but they both lean Republican. They were both created with the same least change premise, and Republicans put as much positive red spin on those districts as they possibly could, Dom. So they're no easy pickups. But I am encouraged that Gallagher is seeking, you know, to find himself in retirement, moving on from the U.S. Congress. So presumably, there's at least a fighting chance. You don't have an incumbent. And I realize that that is a vastly gerrymandered to the Republican advantage. But at least I'm hoping there's a fighting chance for a Democrat. We could at least run one this term, right? If Gallagher's retiring, are the Dems at least going to put a Dem on the ballot this time in the 8th?
I mean, I certainly hope so. There should be no uncontested races anywhere ever, people.
I would share your belief, Dom. And also, somebody better run against Glenn Grothman. They did not last time. He ran unopposed in the 6th. But those are amongst the Republican always going to win seats, as they're perceived, because the maps are baked and cooked to always present a Republican win in those two seats. And the Fitzgerald seat and the Tom Tiffany seat. But maybe the Derek Van Orden in the 3rd. You know, Dom, we did talk about the fact there is a group Opportunity Wisconsin. They're trying to hire a stuntman, someone to go buffoon Derek Van Orden in the 3rd. And you know who I thought of immediately?
Oh.
Pizza Box Mike. Right. You know what I mean? Mike, if you're listening,
for sure. Yeah.
Polish up that resume, buddy. You are their kind of guy. Someone to execute political stunts on a Yahoo like Van Orden? I mean, that is something I think Michael could be passionate about.
I certainly hope there are no, you know, congressional seats that are uncontested. And, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, locals in those districts, you know, think about it. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. Maybe you could be the change we are looking for. But I would also say, as we talked with our pal Bill Press yesterday, our reality that we are living in today. Hey, happy March 1st, everyone. We made it through February. Our reality today, what we're dealing with, the political environment, the circumstances, is not going to be the same come election time. And I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better for the megas out there. So even in those kinds of seats, while it still would be perhaps a martyr to go stand up and vote or stand up and run in a, you know, red district, please somebody do that. That'd be great. We'd have you on the show. We'd talk about it, support you as best we can.
We'd give you a lift. Well, it worked for Janet Protasiewicz. That's all we're saying. 844-967-2789. So the congressional maps, they're set. But, you know, I find the newly cast state legislative maps very intriguing. And I really haven't gone inside the math yet. And I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I've got a fine guest joining us on Monday, Dom, starting at 3:30 and hanging on for you to take a few cracks. Chuck Kuala. First time I believe Chuck's been on the show. And we've been doing this a long time. So Chuck Kuala, the ultimate inside baseball guy, he's coming on the Devil's Advocates Monday, 3:30 in the WNBX studios with me And we're going to start with Dane County and we're going to work our way outstate. But Chuck's engrossed in the math. He's got all these different seats and potential candidates, and you're going to enjoy it. So tune in Monday for that. We'll do a little inside baseball.
I do wonder, though, given the quote from Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Bad Rebecca Bradley.
Yes.
If you know, obviously these maps will remain in place for 2024, but doesn't mean that there could not be further challenges, something, you know, between now and the next redistricting. I don't know what kind of timing played. I don't know. Again, this is all breaking news. If you're just tuning in, Wisconsin Supreme Court rejects move to consider the state's congressional maps.
Well, you know, so there's going to be a big push.
If Bad Bradley's out there, you know, complaining about it, maybe she has some insight that we don't have based on the article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Insight? Let me give you the insight, fella. Aren't you paying attention? They think they're going to win the court back. They want desperately to win the court back. And they've already got an announced candidate for the next Supreme Court race, which will be April of 2025, next spring, right? And who is it? It's Brad Schimmel, the former Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. He's out there. He's already running a campaign. He's already raising cash. Presumably, he's going to have to put out a campaign finance statement. You know, but he's taken the Tom Nelson path. He's out there prior to the last election. He's already running in the next elective cycle, right?
Yeah.
So they think, I mean, that's about as big a winner as you're going to find on the Republican side. Because Dan Kelly, I think they've learned their lesson, maybe just two L's in Kelly. You know, if that guy takes one more loss, he's going to have to change his last name. So I would think, and I cannot believe Darrow, although I think, you know, she was appealing around the time of the Waukesha parade trial. I don't think she's going to bring the same, you know, cause celeb to the next cycle. I think they're all going to rally around Schimmel, and Ann Walsh Bradley's up on the ballot. You know what's crazy, dude? We helped her get elected 10 years ago. We had her in studio, the good Bradley. A decade ago, we were helping her, providing a platform for her, the reelective campaign. That's back before they spent millions on those races either. So anyways.
Was that at the iHeart Studios?
All right. That was our first in-studio experience with the Supreme Court Justice, Tom. Many more to come, I suspect. Many more to come. So we'll look forward to that. But, Dom, you know where I actually kind of want to start my grievances?
All right, where at, Curdy?
Fox News, giving coverage of an MSNBC segment. But I wanted to bring it through the prism of Fox News because this eyebrow-raising segment, as they claimed, over on the Foxy News, white rural voters chose Trump as a conduit for their rage, and they're described as the most racist Americans. White rural voters. And they're all around us, Tom. They can hear me right now. All around the state. We're playing out on so many different AM talk stations across this state. FM translators. All across rural Wisconsin. You can hear my voice right now. And I don't know. There are new book authors. You'll know some names. One of them, a Washington Post journalist. But they talk about the white rural rage, Dom. White rural rage. And I'll give you Fox News' perspective. In other words, they're kind of people. More devil's advocates. You're our kind of people when you air your grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The big and tall of political talk. The devil's advocates.
From the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. Join us, air the grievances on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I love when the Foxy News gets butthurt about a segment on their rival, MSNBC. And the topic, white rural rage. There's a new book. Tom Schaller and Paul Waldman, we know Waldman from the Post, White Rural Rage, the threat to American democracy. And the Fox News coverage of this sort of slanted towards the white rural rage. See if you can sense a slant.
All right.
The authors of the book, White Rural Rage, the threat to American democracy, argued that white rural voters are the most dangerous geo-demographic group in America on MSNBC on Monday. The professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Thomas Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman claimed that white rural voters in America were racist and generally anti-democracy. Now, here is a quote. They are the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, geo-demographic group in the country, Schaller said. Second, they're the most conspiracy theorist group, QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism instead of scientific skepticism, and of course, Obama birtherism. That's what they're known for. They've done a sociological study and they found the white rural people are the most racist QAnon believing people in this nation. And that poses a threat to, let's call it, the small d democracy. Now, Schaller also claimed that white rural voters don't believe in democracy, as it's written here at the Fox News Digital. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech, he said. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they're most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse. I would say, look at the January 6th tapes.
Right, dude. I'll jump in here, Curdy, from the Foxy Lies website. Waldman, that's Paul Waldman, the co-author, and of course from the Washington Post. Waldman argued that white rural voters tend to like former President Donald Trump because, quote, they have more problematic education systems and have been hurt by factories and work leaving their communities. We've seen a lot of manufacturing jobs leave from rural areas that kind of left them open to someone like Donald Trump, who would come along and tell them something that was true, that there is a system that has not served them well. Waldman continued. Mika pipes in. They're pissed off. Yeah, maybe they are. They have some reason to be angry with both parties, Waldman added. The journalist said that Trump was a conduit of white rural voters' rage and anger. All that Trump gave them was essentially a way to essentially give a big middle finger to Democrats, to people who live in cities and the rest of the country. How many steps away from South Africa is this? Political commentator Jenna Ellis wrote on her social media platform in response to a clip of the segment. Another one. Can you imagine thinking rural Appalachia full of white rage and is threatening democracy? A popular TikToker. Kind of. And influencer wrote, We're too busy trying to keep our kids from taking opioids laced with fentanyl. Bought from an illegal who moved into a house that was owned by a poor family who couldn't pay their taxes. Get over your elitist, I guess I would consider that word BS, and lots of other pushback.
I love how they include white, rural, Fox News supporting Twitter rage to right. somehow cast this article down. What about the underlying premise? Are white rural people, and I know some can hear us now, and I'd love to hear from them as well, but you grew up in this white rural part of this state, as did I in some way, shape, or form, although I closer to Dane County, in Dane County technically, you know, I could get to Madison from there. Mount Horeb and Deerfield is where I spent my high school days. I would consider them rural Dane County communities. You were in Greenville, right? And before that, Hortonville, yeah. right?
Greenville was like the big city. I was in Stevensville, man. Between Hortonville and Shiocton. So my experience, yeah, were there racists? Certainly there were some racist folks out there. Anti-immigrant? You know, I don't really remember a whole lot of that. We did have some Mexican friends, some Mexican communities. Anti-gay, you know, as a kid growing up, sure, everybody was anti-gay. All the things you said on the playground, I mean, we played certain games that made fun of people's gayness, let's call it. So there's certainly part of that. But I think it's more, I think it's, and the conspiracy stuff, the QAnon, the election denialism, COVID denialism, all birtherism, I think that's a big, all that's very Trump influence, right? And I think to the point, it's the big middle finger. I think there's more of the folks that are in the rural areas. They're more about giving a middle finger to the system. F the system. F you and your feelings and the system. I either got mine and don't give a damn, or I didn't get mine and the system is, you know, keeping me down, kind of a thing. So when you have, you know, this kind of attitude, the F you attitude, which I've been known to embrace on occasion, and I try to stay. I don't think it goes down a dark road, man. You know, there's more to life than just, you know, having animus towards things not going right for you.
Not my world.
Get over it, man. But what's not mentioned in at least this specific piece from Fox Lies, the religion. You know, how much of that plays, and I think to my experience, the church life is very important to lots of rural folks. Now, forget the fact that they would run out from church on Sunday, run across the street and jump into the bar to watch the Packer game and imbibe in their quote-unquote sins. But there's a lot of church-going folks, at least when I was growing up. I was not one of them. And I'm wondering what kind of influence that has on the folks out in the rural areas.
The churchiness?
Yeah.
There was an article, and I had in-laws that were living in northern Minnesota about a decade ago, and an article came out about Alexandria, Minnesota, which happens to be in the area they lived, and it talked about the changing nature of this community, and what had happened was effectively a lot of the manufacturing base had left, sure. Yep. And as manufacturing leaves, and as people, especially people that, you know, the sort of people that worked in the factories that graduated high school and they followed their dad and their grandfather to the big industrial mill, whatever that was in their hometown. And then the mill shuttered and left. And they were no longer able, as working class blue collar people, to find the same sort of standard of living. And since, you know, what, Reagan, 1980s? We've seen the stagnation of the workers' wages. And I'll tell you a little bit more on the other side now, but effectively, this article in the New York Times back in 2012 laid out the resentment as people became more dependent upon the government. They became more resentful of the government. Devil's advocates, don't resent us just because you need us. 844-967-2789.
Down to the ground.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. is going to airdrop aid directly to starving Palestinians in Gaza. Here's CBS's Weijia Zhang at the White House.
The White House says food aid will be a top priority amid warnings from the U.N. that Gaza is on the brink of famine. Jordan and France have both begun airdropping supplies.
It's one of the most powerful winter storms to ever hit Northern California. The Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren says it's going to be a difficult weekend.
This is a long-lasting snow event, strong winds, possible power outages expected with this snow not wrapping up until late on Sunday.
Some rain has fallen on the Texas Panhandle, helping fire crews as they battled the biggest wildfire in the state's history. The state's emergency management chief, Nim Kidd.
There is a national incident management team that is here with us, and they will take over the organizational control of this and help us order additional resources as needed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers are thinking defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where Packers GM Brian Gutekunst watching players work out, including the top-ranked defensive back in the draft, Iowa's Cooper DeJean, was asked if he'd enjoy playing again with fellow Hawkeye Lucas Van Ness, Green Bay's first-round pick last year.
It'd be cool to play with Lucas again for sure. I love the Iowa guys, you know. So he was a great teammate, you know, to play with. Just an absolute freak. I've talked to him a little bit throughout this process. He's given me some good insight.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago after beating the Hornets last night, 111-99. Doc Rivers says Damian Lillard is not only a lights-out shooter, but good on defense as well.
Dame has great hands. It's like you saw he got another steal in the second half. He told me that. He said, man, Doc, coach, I can play defense. It's just that Portland, I had to do a lot of offense. He said, now I can concentrate a little bit on both ends with all these guys, and he's doing that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow with record highs in the low 60s and breezy. Another record high possible Sunday, upper 60s, windy and partly sunny. A chance of a shower Sunday night and into Monday, cooler Monday afternoon, high upper 40s. Right now it's 33.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the weekend nearly here. Dom's going partying. I don't even know what your plans are, but I guarantee it includes some partying. I know you. And it's always a political party up in here, and you can always be a part. Appreciate when you do participate at 844-967-2789. And I do want to ask some of our more rural listeners. You racist? I mean, this new book, Paul Waldman and Schaller, the political science guy from the University of Maryland, Baltimore. They've written the book of deplorables, have they not? White rural rage, I think they're calling this. And effectively, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Kathy Kramer did a great piece here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, the urban rural divide, I believe her book entitled. And it was a sociological study in what happened in our backyard. And we've often talked about, you know, what woke up these low propensities, these middle finger voters here in the state of Wisconsin. It was Trump, right? No, it happened before Trump. It was actually the Scott Walker recall campaign that brought a lot of voters out that had never voted before, new to this process. And apparently they, like you at the time, Dom, because you voted, you know, in protest of this recall, you voted for Scott Walker. And it was sort of a middle finger vote because you'd voted for Barrett in the general. So yeah. You voted to elect Barrett. They go to recall Scott Walker and you rejected the notion of the recall. Middle fingers for everybody. But it wasn't just you, dude. It was lots of rural voters, low propensity voters. And somehow, you know, as Walker faded from our memory, mostly as a failed presidential candidate, and Donald Trump stepped forth as the embodiment of all things. What racist. I mean, did you hear the speech over the weekend? Did you hear what he said at the border yesterday? I know some of that was happening while we were on the air, Dom. I mean, this guy is basically just racist trope after racist trope. And I'm thinking, that's not appealing to, let's just say, black voters. Trump claims he's got to peel off some black voters. Good luck with that. Or Latino voters, that's not going to happen when you hear the man espousing effectively racism. This is his new policy. Be the most racist. Well, now he's being slightly more blunt about it. Although there was always a whole, you know, very good people on both sides and murderers and rapists. And I'm sure a few of their very good people, right? He came down the escalator with that racial xenophobic toned message in 2015 when he announced his campaign. But now it's starting to sink in. He's given permission to the aggrieved. You know, my life's not working out. Who do I blame? Because it can't be my fault. So whose fault is it? And Donald Trump says it's their fault. The people that don't look like us. It's their fault.
Or the Marxists, the immigrants, and the communists, or the media, or this, or that.
Well, but he very specifically targets people of color, from asshole countries. I've noted the angst he had about the people speaking languages you've never heard before in America.
Language. They speak language.
Well, that was his statement yesterday on the border, Donald Trump. I mean, while Joe Biden is basically saying, let's solve this problem in Brownville, where Brownville, Texas, apparently a place where they're actually sympathetic and try to repatriate, you know, find housing, et cetera, for these immigrants. The community sort of rallies around them. And the opposite at Eagle Pass, where Abbott being the governor of Texas, met Trump, and they basically laid out the racial tropes. And I guess here's the point. You know, they've dropped this new book, Waldman and this guy, Schaller, and they're basically calling a spade a spade. You know, Trump's always been a racist. And he's given permission, and part of this new grievance politics is racially grievance politics, because it helps rally the masses, man. It's like the KKK in the 20s.
What I'm not seeing are any like specific breakdown of numbers or percentages or anything along those lines. And while when I grew up and was growing up out in rural areas, and mind you, my parents came here from Detroit. My father worked at General Motors, and then he took a job with Kimberly-Clark. Their headquarters at the time was in Neenah, Wisconsin, so that precipitated the move as 2-year-old Nikki all of a sudden finds himself out in the country. So I had a lot of, you know, travel time, let's call it. So I had, you know, kind of the life here, but my parents missed their parents and their family and their core, their base, you know, their rock. We go back to Michigan often. Did that. That's why I'm a road warrior today. But I don't, certainly even to this day, there are folks that I know out in rural areas that say some very inappropriate racist things. But I also have friends that work really hard and travel the world and are very progressive and open-minded, that live, you know, a few miles away from that other person. You know what I mean? So that's out there everywhere. And I'm not going to broad brush everybody in the rural areas is like this, because they're certainly not.
If they're MAGA Republicans, they certainly are supportive of this. And if Donald Trump wins re-election, God forbid, it's going to be because of rural white rage. That is what is driving the Trump base. That is the MAGA base. When we see swing state after swing state, we saw a new poll again yesterday. Biden trails Trump in 7 of the swing states. And primarily, we're talking about Rust Belt. We're talking Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, important northern Midwestern states with big rural swaths, right? You know, Milwaukee, Madison, and a bunch of rural. Pennsylvania is the same way. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and a bunch of rural. Michigan, you got Detroit, Grand Rapids, and no other cities larger than like 100,000 people in the state of Michigan. So I guess my point is, Dom, the blue collar, the rural whites are sliding into the Trump column, and they're driven by fantasy at time, by fiction, by QAnon, by conspiracy theories. And I would just wonder, are we cognizant of what's happening out there? Because I'm seeing it in the polling, and it's really got me nervous that, you know, despite best intentions and Joe Biden as our incumbent, he's losing all over the map. And I don't want to see white rural rage the rule of the road any more than it is now, because it's already starting to be pervasive, be it Christian nationalism or anything else, Dom. It's affecting every aspect of our life through the legal system, through the politics.
Of course it is. It always has. That's
to
not anything
a lesser degree. I think, I mean, to a lesser really, degree, there was less crazy.
Really? The 40s, the 50s, the 60s? I mean, what lesser degree? The 70s? The 80s? I mean, when? When?
Well, politics was less performative.
When was there not white nationalists and white Christian nationalists? I mean,
when were they not racist, man? But they were the fringe, dude. They weren't the heart of the party.
What are you talking about, man? You couldn't, blacks and whites couldn't marry in the 60s. It was against the law.
Well, you realize that's like 70 years ago, Dom. So, okay, no doubt the country has evolved in the last 60 years.
Right before I was born, and I'm not 70. My point being, Crudy, because Loving Virginia passed and now interracial marriage became legal, didn't mean that, oh, okay, I guess no one's racist anymore. I mean, as a society, as our laws have gotten better and erased some of the racism out there, obviously it's still there. You can't. We wouldn't have had to overturn these laws and have all this strife and the riots in the 60s, all this stuff, man, that would not have happened if it weren't for these very issues. These are not new. These are old, and they continue to be here. And I would say, Crudy, it's less than it was back then. It's less than it was in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Racism or the willingness to overthrow democracy for autocracy, Dom? Because that's what's changing. I don't think these Republicans once upon a time were willing to throw democracy overboard. They might have always had this racist undertone, and I don't disagree with you, Dom. I think it's gotten better for the country racially, but it certainly is not solved. And, you know, 1960 is literally, dude, 64 years ago. That's a long time. It's not like really? Yesterday.
It seems like yesterday to me, man. I mean, Roe v. Wade. I mean, this we're still dealing with all the legacy of humanity, man. And as it was enshrined in law and institutions in this country, we are still dealing with that today.
844-967-2789. My grievance is Dom talks too much. Paul from Waukesha, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Paul.
Hi. I just want to say you guys are incredible, man.
How so?
If you don't agree with you, you're a racist. You want to divide the country and basically...
Hang on a second, man. I'm not going to let you get away with it. I'm not going to say that if you don't agree with me, you're racist. I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to maybe come up with some more articulate points if you want to remain on the show. You go.
Sure. Yeah, I just say that you guys with the dividing, you know, everything with race, everything's, you know, Trump's a racist because, you know.
Because he says racist things, sir?
Well, let me just finish. You know, there's an issue at the border, and all Biden has to do is follow the laws of this country. Shut the border down. There is no reason to have that many people just flowing into the country.
Paul, you think we got a big curtain, man? How do you shut the border down? It wasn't shut down under Trump. They might have made people wait in Mexico, dude, but there were still people coming in under the asylum policies under Trump. Like it or not, it wasn't net zero, sir. No, they've increased.
Yeah, but look at the amount that is coming through. And they're busing them all around and flying them all around the country.
And the strangest thing is that crime rates have actually gone down in the cities where the higher migrants have been deported to or taken to within the U.S. Well, that's not the typical Fox News narrative, Paul.
No, okay, let me tell you this, and I'm tired of the Fox News narrative. I listen with my eyes. I see what's going on around me. I see it, you know, my eyes aren't wide shut. And with you people sitting there, and every time you disagree, what do you want, a one-party system? Why don't you do your research and find out how that's worked out? We're all about let's go to war with Russia and Ukraine. Are you out of your mind? Do you really want to do that?
Are you supporting Trump, Paul?
Suit up?
Paul, let me ask you. I did suit up for our country, but I'm a little old to go serve again. But, Paul, I asked you a question. Are you supportive of Donald Trump?
I'm not supportive of Joe Biden and his radical.
Are you supportive of Donald Trump? That's a pretty straightforward question, Paul.
Well, he happens to be the coach of the team, and that's the coach. If it was my choice, I would have somebody else. But he happens to be the coach.
Would you perceive the things he said on the border yesterday to be acceptable, Paul? Because I perceive them to be racially tinged.
I did not hear what he had to say, so I can't make a comment on that. My only assumption is that people are taking what he says and blowing it totally out of proportion.
Well, but I have not. Why would you assume that, Paul? I mean, we've listened to Trump speak for a long time.
Because this has been going on for the last 6 years. That's why. For the last 7 years, this is all I've heard: Russian collusion, this and that. Blah, blah. He started.
Paul, did Joe Biden win a free and fair election? Paul, do you think gay people should be able to get married in this country?
President with the lowest approval rating, something doesn't add up. If you go,
Paul, do you think gay people should be able to be married? Do you support gay marriage, Paul?
Sure, why not?
All right, well.
I mean, this is
Amen, brother. I'm with you. I'll meet you halfway there, Paul.
Paul, would you like to go smoke some weed later? That's the real question. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls. Friday, we air grievances. Yours could be next. 844-967-2789. Don't wanna be on my bridge.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So, for Matt Nair on air.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Let's get to the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I played this one because every day we leave it all out there on the stage. We're performative, but in a good way. We're entertaining, I hope. You know, I kind of feel like Taylor Swift out there performing for a massive audience. It's like we're on the Errors Tour.
You're not.
In your case, you're on the Error Tour. Maggie Dodd, our friend and colleague and broadcast. Always great to see you on the lines. Maggie, welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Maggie Dodd.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to respond a little bit to Paul, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Please. You have the conch.
Thank you. Joe Biden cannot close or shut down the border. If that were possible, Trump would have done so. Justice Alito, who is the architect of the Dobbs decision and arch conservative, has said that in Supreme Court rulings. We do not have the personnel resources, the technology resources to do so. The border doesn't have an enormous infinite wall on it everywhere. And even if we were able to do all those things, Justice Alito has also made clear that we don't have the places to put every person who crosses the border illegally.
Oh no, Maggie.
It's not legally. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It keeps being said. The best, most aggressive immigration bill in the history of the last, say, 25 years, the best possible set of policies that Republicans could ever hope to get is a bill that could be introduced by Mike Johnson, but he refuses to take any action to solve the problem. Why? So that people like Paul can keep saying incorrect things and blame Joe Biden. That is not about protecting America. It is about elevating and protecting Donald Trump and his campaign. The second thing I wanted to say really briefly is that I don't believe people in rural places or the people support Trump, the vast majority of them, I don't believe that they would identify themselves as racist. Some of them are, but like the vast majority are not. But the question is...
But the candidate they would follow is...
Correct.
I say...
Exactly, Mike. Exactly. If the candidate that you will vote for is himself a racist, supports policies that are racially divisive and racially oppressive, and you endorse him and vote for him, then what does that make you? Aren't you equivalent to the company you keep? Come on now. Like, let's deal with reality. I just think that people need to be really honest with themselves about what this man says and the policies he proposes, because they are indeed racist. He is exactly who he says he is. And if you look at some of his statements, I take what people say seriously. Certainly, someone running for the chief executive officer position of this country. I believe what people say. So unless Paul and other people don't believe that Donald Trump means what he says, then why is he saying it? It just doesn't wash. So thanks a lot for taking my call, guys. Keep going at it.
Thank you, sister. If Maggie Dawn says it, I believe her.
Thank you, Maggie. Appreciate it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Civic Media Network, 2 to 4 p.m. everywhere except Madison, where, you know, I'm doing the 3 o'clock thing, Dom.
If you vote for a Nazi, does that make you a Nazi? You know what I'm saying? If you vote for an isolationist, does that make you the isolationist?
844-967-2789. The good CJ for a change. Welcome back. The good CJ from Beaver Dam.
Hey, CJ. Hello, CJ.
You there, fellas?
Yeah, we're here. You there? Come on, man.
What's up, man?
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys again. I had a pretty rough year last year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, dad died, brother died, doing a lot of funeral stuff.
Oh, no, sorry, man.
Thank you. May 1st of 1989, just before I graduated, Trump pulled out a one-page ad in the New York Times to bring back the death penalty for the Gang of Five.
The Central Park Five, yeah.
Yes, correct.
Kids that were later exonerated by DNA evidence, but Trump has never retracted any of that crap, has he, CJ?
Correct. And the fact that he even got elected or nominated in 2016 without any of that coming up is baffling to me.
Well, it was
it came up, CJ. I just don't think anybody on the right cared.
It was so chaotic as well, CJ. I mean, when the guy's got a new outrage each and every day, you know, it's hard to hold him accountable for his historical outrages from his pre-presidency days.
If he wasn't so slimy, I would call him Houdini.
Yeah. Well, don't besmirch Appleton's favorite son. The good CJ. Thank you, sir.
Oh, wait. Oh, Houdini.
It's not you. Well, here's Appleton's favorite daughter, Cindy. How you doing, Cindy? Welcome.
Hey, Cindy.
Good. How are you?
Excellent. What do you got for us?
It's not really Trump that I'm so much worried about because he's too freaking stupid to run anything. But he's going to be the conduit for the Heritage Foundation and the ALEC agenda. And I wish people would go. You can Google the ALEC agenda and you can read it and see what it says. He's going to be the conduit for all this evil because that's what scares me more.
Yeah.
Cindy, I heard the John Birch Society of Appleton fame is kind of making a comeback these days. Are you hearing anything in that regard?
Well, I've been hearing that since Trump got elected. Yeah, they've been making a comeback. Yeah. But then don't forget about little Medina, Wisconsin. I was at a bar the other night and some of these people had on these Medina militia sweatshirts, and I'm thinking, really?
Oh, wow. The militia's back. Thank you for the call, Cindy. You used to hang out at Perks in Medina, man. We'll get a porterhouse steak and some potatoes over there. I think it's under different ownership now, but certainly appreciate the folks in Medina.
Come back with us. A happier, happy hour, the Friday edition. We're going to need you to leave it all on the stage. All that sweat, all that energy, all those grievances, we air them. Come back with us. 844-967-2789. I don't know if the other CJ noted, but if someone is the good CJ, you're not that guy. Just point it out, CJ. CJ's in the queue.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. We got Chuck Quala coming in studio 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather? Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Kreider.